As we come today, I just want to thank those of you for praying for us last weekend. We had our time for Thanksgiving with Janice's family. It was kind of relaxing. That Saturday, though, it was not quite so relaxing. We went down to the old house to get my father-in-law's sailboat. First time I've ever towed anything of significance with my truck. And 15 minutes into the trip, we lost a wheel on the trailer. So needless to say, it was a testing day. Instead of getting home in time to watch the end of the Penn State game, it was about 10:30 that night, in the dark, pulling in a boat that I'd never hauled before. But, you know, as much as it was a frustrating day, through this week, I just kept thinking about what could have happened had we been on the highway when the wheel came off. And so I'm very grateful for God's provision. And so when we pray for people when they travel, it's significant, so thank you for your prayers. Today, we're going to be continuing in the series, The Call of Christmas. And Jim introduced the series last week and looking at Zechariah and the call to prepare. Today, we're looking at the call that was given to Mary. And Mary's specific call was a call to provide. And we're going to unpack that a little bit, but also to look at Mary as someone who can help us push through our own fears, our own doubts, and our own insecurities and things that sometimes keep us from embracing what God wants for us. God not only invites us into relationship with Him, what we've been talking about this fall and developing intimacy with God, but God always invites us into relationship with Him so that we can join Him in mission and join Him in service. And so as we look at Mary today, it's my prayer is that whatever you might be wrestling with, insecurities or fears or things that might keep you from really putting yourself in a place to be willing to do whatever God would have you to do, or maybe you know what it is that God wants you to do, but those fears and insecurities keep you from taking that first step. My prayer is today that as we look at Mary and the example of her in Scripture, that we would learn and be reminded of some very basic Christian truths that the angel reminded Mary of in this account that I think really help us to take that step and moving beyond our fears. You know, when Jan and I were in college, we met working as resident assistants, and it was a part of their leadership program. There was a lot of intentionality in leadership development, and one of the things that we were blessed with during that training time was they installed, while we were there, they installed a low and high ropes course. Anyone ever been on a ropes challenge course? The low ropes course, there's a lot of team building type things. The high ropes course is much more focused on helping you individually push beyond barriers and fears and things to really just do the things that you know that you're being led to do. This is an example of one of the things that we had at Asbury on the high ropes course. It's affectionately known as the pamper pull. You can think that through as to why. That pull is about 30, 40 feet high in the air. You climb up, you're in a harness, so you're safe, but you're still 30 or 40 feet up in the air. And then as soon as you get up there, that pull seems nice and secure in comparison to jumping off and grabbing the trapeze out in front of you. And that's the assignment for that exercise, to challenge you. Now, if this was on the ground, any one of us wouldn't hesitate to jump and grab the trapeze. But 30 or 40 feet in the air, jumping out and up to grab this, was one of the most intimidating things I've ever done in my life. I understand exactly why they call it the pamper pull. If you don't figure that out, you can talk to someone after church. But you know, that moment when you have to leap and let go of the security of that pole and to leap through the air to grab what you hope is going to hold you, that I've been reminded of that so many times in my life, especially from a spiritual perspective of understanding that God calls us often. You see it all through the Scripture, and I've seen it in my life. God will call us to things that scare us. God will call us to do things that to get deep into our insecurities and our concerns and can keep us from doing what He's wanting us to do. And you know, what I don't want you to take away from this illustration is, well, don't just muster up enough courage and jump. I hope that when we look at Mary today, that we can see there's some very key theological truths in this account of Mary's call to be the mother of the Son of God, that when we look at Mary, we can see those important truths that help us understand that when we leap, we're not alone. If God calls us, we're not alone. We're going to see some promises that Mary was given that are consistent promises throughout the scripture to anyone that God had his hand on and called. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. There's a lot of different ways you could look at Mary, but that's the focus we're taking today, looking at Mary and her, the call of God on her life to provide for Jesus, to be the mother of the Son of God, and to look at her example of how we can push through our own insecurities and fears and hold on to the truth of God's word and his promises to be able to embrace God's call in our life. Before we look at the video this morning, I want to read Luke 1, 26 through 30, just to introduce the morning. Luke 1, 26 through 30, the word should be on the screen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, after the video, we're going to keep reading the rest of that. But, you know, one of the things I realized a few years ago when I looked at this passage is Mary's fear and anxiety kicked in at the greeting. She hasn't even been given the assignment yet. I mean, think about that. Think about the assignment that Mary is given. I just always assumed, like, well, the fear and the anxiety is going to kick in when God actually tells Mary what she's going to do. But the fear and anxiety kicks in even in this with this saying, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And it says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The video, my first reaction to the video today, I was kind of jealous because I loved the video that Jim showed last week. That was one of my favorite of the ones we're going to be seeing. They're all good. But the video you're going to see here of Mary and her call, my first reaction was, man, it looks like the angel's terrorizing her. It really emphasizes the fear aspect. But I really encourage you to look at this and try to imagine yourself in Mary's shoes, having this encounter with Gabriel and the invitation to play a most incredible role in God's plan for this world. So let's go ahead and watch that.
In the ancient writings, a Savior was prophesied. This would bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it was written long ago that God would give us a sign. A young girl would conceive, though never having been with a man, and she would give birth to a baby boy. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Mother? Father?
You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For nothing is impossible with God.
I am a servant of the Lord. May everything you have said about me come true.
A young woman says yes to the unimaginable. Her story is not the first, nor the last, when God will ask great things of his people. And when we say yes, it can change everything.
That phrase, a young woman says yes to the unimaginable. You know, I think it's a pretty safe bet that anything God ever asks us to do will probably pale in comparison to what God asked of Mary. And we'll think about that a little later here in the message about some of the specific fears and concerns that Mary would have had. But, you know, that account gives us a picture of Mary having this encounter that initially brought fear and anxiety, and yet you can see the acceptance of her, the understanding of what God was asking her to do. Because for the Israelite people, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. And Mary would have connected the dots to know what she was being invited to do. That she was being invited to carry and to bear the Messiah. You know, I'd like to read the text for the rest of us and dive in, but I just want to encourage you just to think about Mary and her example this morning, and in the back of your mind, keep that picture of what God might be asking you to do, and whether or not you've said yes, or maybe you've been delaying saying yes to God because of your own fears and your own doubts or anxiety. Let's pick up in verse 28, go back to 28. Through 33. It says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what the sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Now, when Mary would have heard those words, the name of Jesus, and that he would be Savior, and all of what was said in those preceding verses point to the fact that this child that she is going to bear is going to be the promised Messiah. And yet, I want you to think for a moment, before we continue in the text, think for a moment of what type of fears and anxieties Mary may have experienced. I mean, think about the fact that she was young. Now, I realize that I talk to some, I mean, probably a teenager. I talk to some teenagers today that don't seem to have any fear. But the reality is, for a young woman to even know that she is going to have a child would bring anxiety and concern, let alone understanding the role that she was going to play in God's salvation history. We also would understand that Mary would have most likely have had doubts about how adequate she was to the task, because she was not from a significant, I mean, in a lot of ways, she would have probably viewed herself as insignificant. And I think often we fall into that trap of thinking, well, what can God do with me? This idea that she would be insignificant, I mean, she's from an insignificant family, from an insignificant town. This is Nazareth, not Jerusalem. You would think that the Messiah would come in Jerusalem, and not Nazareth. But, you know, through all of that, she would have had an understanding of the great honor that she was being given. Because the Jewish people were praying for the Messiah to come. And some commentators even said that some young women would have actually even been praying for the privilege of being able to bear the Messiah. She would have understood that this was an honor, that God was inviting her into a very special role in his plan for the world. And yet those fears and the insecurities and all the concerns, they would have been there. Not to mention, how is she going to explain this to Joseph? You know, as I think even just in the issue of parenting, motherhood or parenting in general, we know that there's excitement with that, but there's anxiety, there's concern that comes with that. I mean, in my life, I can still remember the excitement when we found out that Jana was expecting Bryce, but it was shortly after that, and we waited. I was in my late 20s. I'll give you a specific age, but Jana would correct me. I was in my late 20s when we had Bryce, we didn't start early with the family, but I remember thinking, am I prepared for this? Am I ready for this responsibility? Now, think about that for a moment, and then think about the responsibility Mary was being asked. To bear a child, not any child, but to be responsible to provide, a call to provide, to be responsible to provide for the very Son of God. What about our fears? Question here is, what fears keep you from embracing God's call in your life? Sometimes when God asks us to do something, fears or doubts get in the way. And that means that we have a sense that God has called us to do something. He's told us to do something. Sometimes it's even just looking at what God's word already tells us to do. We're to be a witness for Christ. We're to be living a testimony in front of the world. Where God calls us. There's so much about what God wants from us. It's already clearly told to us in Scripture. But sometimes we're fearful of embracing that call, or even a specific call in God, that God would have in our life, because of our own fears and our own doubts. I've talked to people over the years too that sometimes it's their fears even keep them from asking God what he would want of them. That they don't even know yet, because they're too fearful that, well, they don't have anything to give. They're not significant. They can't contribute, or they have something that's tying them down in their fears and their doubts, and they don't even put themselves out there to see if God would want them to do something. In Mary's story, we see an example of a young girl who moved beyond her fears and her questions to embrace God's call. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we look at two key truths that we see in this passage, I want you to embrace those truths and learn from Mary's example of how we can embrace the role of being a servant to God with whatever it is that he would ask of us. The first promise we see given to Mary is right in that initial greeting, is that God is with you. Luke 1:28 says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Now you could say, well, this is obviously God was with Mary in a very unique way, a very special way, and yet that phrase is something we see throughout Scripture. The promise of God's presence. We see that throughout Scripture, and it would have reminded us even of Isaiah 7:14 that was read at the beginning of the video. Even though this text is not quoted in the Luke passage, there's no way to look at the Mary account without thinking of these words from Isaiah 7:14, that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And as I mentioned in the communion, Emmanuel means God is with us. Even in Mary fulfilling this prophecy of being the virgin who would conceive is reminding us of the promise of the Messiah coming, who would be Emmanuel, God with us. This whole account is emphasizing those words in verse 28, that the Lord is with you. But we see throughout the Scriptures, if you took the time and thought of a lot of different biblical characters, we know again and again that God, when he put his hand on someone to use someone, there was always the promise of his presence. I love the verse in Exodus 33:15 where Moses, think about Moses. Moses had visibly experienced God's presence. I mean, he experienced God's presence in a way that really not many in history have ever experienced. And yet, before they went into the promised land, And before he would take another step forward with God, he cried out to God in Exodus 33:15. He says, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." Moses understood it wasn't his leadership ability. It was not his great skill. He understood that for him to lead Israel, for him to fulfill God's call on his life, he knew that he needed God's presence with him. Gideon, in Judges 6:12, when the angel appears to Gideon, I always love this because he's threshing, I believe, threshing wheat. I mean, it's not a picture of anyone of great strength or anything when you look at the Gideon account. But in Judges 6:12, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" Before God called Gideon to serve as a judge, to deliver his people, he promised that he would be with him. For every disciple, for anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, we've been given the task to go to make disciples. We've been given the task to go and live as a witness for Christ. And whether you look at Matthew 28 or Acts 1:8, we see in both of these verses that we refer to as the Great Commission, we see God's promise to not only, he gives every one of us a specific task. If you're sitting here wondering, what does God want me to do? This should be on your list. If you've trusted Christ, you've put your hope in Christ, and you've claimed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been given the task to make disciples. You've been given the task to be a witness for Christ. That should be part of our list of what God is calling us to do. And in these words that are given to every believer, we have the promise of God being with us. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus didn't just give the task to the disciples. He promised that he would be present. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We have the promise of the Holy Spirit to come into our life, to fill us, to empower us, to do whatever God calls us to do, beginning with bearing witness for Christ. The reason we receive the fullness of the Spirit is in Acts 1:8 is clear, is that so we might be a witness for Jesus. You know, if God is calling us, when God calls, we need to understand that we are not alone. And throughout Scripture, we see that when God calls, he equips. When God calls, he promises to be with us. You know, and I firmly believe that recognizing our own insignificance, recognizing our own limited resources, pushes us to that place like Moses and recognizing just how critical it is that we have God's presence with us. It puts us in a place of dependence, of just fully depending upon God, knowing that whatever gifts God has given us, whatever natural abilities we have, that all pales in comparison to knowing that the God of the universe, that his Spirit chooses to dwell in us, to empower us to live as a witness for him. So that's the first truth in this passage. First truth in this passage, the first promise that pushes us, leads us through our fears and through our doubts, is being reminded of the fact that God promises us when he calls us that he will be with us. The second truth we're going to keep reading, we see, is that nothing, Mary is told that nothing is impossible with God. Look at Luke, we're going to pick up in verse 34, Luke 1:34. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.'" You know, I love the fact that in the promise to Mary, in Mary's call, you not only have God giving her those words of truth that nothing is impossible with God. But he also points to another miracle that is taking place that Jim talked about last week. You have two miracles in this account. You have the virgin birth, a young woman who has never been with a man who is going to conceive and bear a son who will be Jesus, the Son of God. And you have Mary's cousin Elizabeth in her old age, barren, longing for a child but had given up on that hope. We see that God does a miracle in Elizabeth and Zachariah's life and gives them a child who would be John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. In that account, you see two miracles that remind us of that truth, that nothing is impossible with God. And if we keep reading, we know that Mary goes and she greets Elizabeth and has this incredible encounter where even John in the womb recognizes the presence of Christ with Mary. And I love that scene because it not only reminds us of who this child is that Mary is carrying, but I also see it's a picture of God caring for Mary and saying, look, I told you about this, but I'm gonna show you that Elizabeth in her old age is going to bear a son. That would have been confirmation and affirmation that what God was doing for Mary was not only true, but that Mary could trust God. You know, as we think about the idea of and rest on that truth of that nothing is impossible with God, I think this is another reason why it's so important that we are in God's Word. Because the more we read through the Scripture, the more we read the accounts of people who were just like you and me, ordinary, insignificant people that just stepped out, that ordinary people stepping out and being willing to do what God called them to do. We see that throughout Scripture, whether it's Moses or Gideon, Joshua, any of the people in the Old and New Testament that God calls. Most of the disciples were fishermen. They were average Joes that Jesus invited to follow and to serve as his apostles. When we get into God's Word, we see again and again that God invites ordinary people to do the impossible. Sometimes it's also important we can listen and read other people's stories. Have a time where we share with one another how God has answered prayers. But I know I've known people over the years. I've read some Christian biographies. But one of the powerful things about reading Christian biographies, like George Mueller or other great Christian leaders, is they tell their stories of how God has answered prayer and how God has done what would have been perceived to be impossible in their life. And we also can keep our own list and journal. When God answers prayers, write it down and remember it, because often when we feel God is calling us to do something that is too great, or we're starting to waver and think, well, no, that could never happen, it's like we have amnesia for a moment. We forget the ways that God has answered prayers in the past. And we need to be reminding ourselves of the way God has worked in our life in the past, because it gives us a greater confidence to know that nothing is impossible with God. You know, Mary, you see the transition in the video from the fear and the anxiety and the questions and finding out what God has for her. But what is so captured in the video and captured in the text is that Mary comes to a place of just surrendered obedience, willing to do whatever God would have, that willing to embrace whatever part that God wants her to play in God's story, she was willing to embrace it. Her surrender and embracing God's call, we see in verse 38. It says, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You know, if God is calling you, if God has been nudging you to take a step in obedience, to do something, to serve him in some way, or to just embrace the call that we all have to be a witness for Christ, to go out and make disciples, whatever it is that God might be calling you, I pray that you walk out of here today not just with a reminder that God promises to go with you, but that have that confidence that nothing is impossible with God. But don't forget Mary's example of surrender. And just being willing to say, "I'm a servant of the Lord." She's surrendering her plan. She's surrendering her future. She's surrendering everything that she maybe has held on to, her own dreams, to embrace what God has for her. You know, I think too often we go to God with our plans and say, God bless this. And Mary gives us an example of someone who's willing to just say, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Today, I just pray as we even close our time in worship today, that whether it's the first time you surrender to Christ or whether it's the 100th time, just surrender to him again today. Be willing to just surrender your heart, surrender your life to Christ again, to be reminded that he has a hope and a future for you, but we have to be willing to lay down our lives to embrace him. We have to lay down our lives to embrace his plan for us. And in that, we have the promise that he's going to be with us and that anything he calls us to, we have the confidence that nothing is impossible with God. Will you pray with me? Ask the musicians to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, to your word, and we're so grateful that not only with Mary, but for the many people we see throughout the scriptures, Lord. Just ordinary people that you chose to use. And in choosing ordinary people, you display your power. You make it clear that it's not about the person, it's about your power at work in their lives. Lord, I just pray that today, that wherever you're speaking to each one of us, Lord, that we would just be willing to take that step of obedience to you. Lord, that we would just surrender our lives anew to you. Lord, that you might be free to work in us and through us. Lord, may we not be caught up in our own limitations or in our own strength, but may we just rely on you and trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.